Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
Okay, I'm going to talk to my mom first, Dorothy Lay, who was Dorothy Catani.
Oh, Dorothy Catani at the very beginning, when she was growing up in Collinsville. And what's your earliest memory, even, of you growing up in the house in Collinsville? I mean, you had how many brothers and sisters?
I had three sisters, four brothers.
Uh-huh. You know. And what did your dad do?
Coal miner.
Did your mom work at all or anything?
No.
And what did she? What was her specialty as far as like being home and everything and raising
taking care
all the
of
kids?
The kids, raising the kids, canning and everything else.
So what kind of things did she can most of the time?
Everything.
Okay. And were the when the boys started grad, who was the oldest? Margaret was the oldest?
Margaret was the oldest.
And was she the first one to leave the house and get a job?
No, she ran away and got married.
Oh, okay. That's okay. No, no, I understand that. And then how old were you when you got your first job? Or did you went to school? You went to high school, right?
Yeah. The first job I got was when I was 16 and a half, I
think. Were you still in high school?
I quit high school to get a job.
Why did you have to do that?
Because my family was kind of needed the money and all. I get a job down at a dress factory. And
okay. And had you met Angelo yet?
I met.
Okay. When did you meet Aunt Libby? When did you meet Libby?
In school.
School. Okay. And then, so had you met her brother yet?
Yeah, I went out there one day and met him.
Okay. And were you still in high school then?
Yeah. But
were you?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Ange used to date your sister.
What?
Didn't Ange, he dated Red.
No. Oh, okay.
Took her out one time.
Oh, he took her out one time. But then what I was always curious about, were you in high school when you first started going out with Angelo? Or you started your job already?
Going to Angelo when I was 16. Okay.
Okay. And everything. And that's how you got to meet me.
Yeah.
Libby went to
school
with you.
They used to call me JLB.
Okay. That's enough there. Okay. And then Libby, so you became friends with Dorothy in high school.
High school.
And
right.
Do you remember the first time you met her?
Well, I think we were in Latin class.
Yeah.
Of the classes, yeah.
Mrs. Brady.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, and Mrs. Brady really liked you because had the personality and everything.
Yeah.
Were you quieter?
And she was funny, too. She'd make you laugh. You
she know? Would tell. She sit behind me and tell me the answer sometime. You,
oh, wonderful.
My teacher.
And there you were struggling. And you were, like, the youngest of your family?
Yes.
And how many brothers and sisters?
I'm the youngest of nine.
Uh-huh.
Seven boys. Mm-hmm. And myself and my older sister.
Yep. Uh-huh. And then, so you became friends, and whose idea was it to bring her home to meet your brother, Angelo?
We were friends.
Yeah. I used to walk home with her, and then he came out one time, and I got a picture of her and I. He took a picture of her and I together.
And then you continued with high school, though?
Yes.
Okay, and then you got the job, and then how many years... So after the job, and you and Angelo fell in love, and then you got married in 19.
Let's see, I can't remember.
But you were married when you were like 17.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Okay. And right around then, were you reading the news at all? Because the newspapers were out, and you'd listen to the radio, and did you ever even hear anything that was going on in Germany or any place else?
Mrs. Arth came back, and she told us all about Germany. And she went there and told us about Germany, about Hitler, and how everything was going on there, how they're doing with the Jews and all. And she got a call from one of her relatives in Germany saying if she don't shut up, something's going to happen to the relatives.
Mm-hmm. And so that was your first. But were the guys talking about it? Was it in the paper also at that time?
What do you mean the paper?
Like about that there could be, the people that were being persecuted were being punished and the stuff that was starting to happen.
Wasn't in the papers then.
Even with, okay.
She gave a speech to the school.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, well, so in the community then, when you first started hearing about it and before Pearl Harbor, was there more talk about it, about the politics of it? Should you enter the war? Do you remember? Because you were still in,
I remember Pearl Harbor.
I know, oh, but yeah. Before Pearl Harbor, did you know that something terrible might happen?
Not that much.
How about you?
No,
before
I don't think
Pearl
so.
Before Pearl Harbor happened.
Not too much. When Pearl Harbor happened, when...
do you remember where you were?
Yeah.
Where were you? I
was at home.
So you guys weren't married yet?
Yeah, no, we weren't married yet.
But, you were pretty close to getting married.
Yeah.
Do you remember where you were when you first heard about
Pearl Harbor? Yes, I can remember that. I was in a drugstore in downtown Collinsville, and with some friends, and then all of a sudden, somebody from who owned the drugstore said Pearl Harbor was bombed, and none of us knew where Pearl Harbor was, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. not really.
Did you know that sailors were stationed there and everything?
No.
Okay.
No. But it was naturally, everybody was scared. Yeah. And I remember coming home and, you know, the family, mom and pop. And
were they crying or did they know anybody or? They just knew this was really a terrible thing.
It was on the radio. Everything was on the radio.
Okay.
And it was just continuous because they were trying to keep everybody informed about what was happening.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. So you definitely knew, though, that were they talking, are we going to go to war or not go to war? And
well,
the president
everybody
at that
pretty
time.
Much knew that that's what, what's going to happen. Uh-huh. You know? Yeah.
And so when did they start recruiting everybody? As far as, like, when did they know that they would have to, you know, become soldiers?
Well, I think pretty fast.
Yeah.
I think they start drafting people.
Yeah, yeah.
And weren't they pulling names? They were pulling
Pulling names up, but Ange...
Volunteered?
He volunteered, yeah, because...
How about the other brothers?
Well,
he wanted to be in the Air Corps, and he wanted to make sure he was in the Air Corps. And if you didn't, why they put you somewhere else, you know, then.
Okay. And so you were married.
Then we got married, because I wanted to farm. I worked at St. Louis Cap Factory making Army caps for a long time.
That was right when this started, though.
That's when, before.
That was right when it started.
Yeah.
And so, like, I actually have...
And Angela already was in a service.
Yeah.
But I made caps for the Army.
This is when...
Mount City Cap Company in St. Louis. I think it's still there, though.
Okay. And then this is when all the boys joined.
Yeah.
And all her brothers joined.
Well, Charlie, I think Charlie was drafted.
Charlie was
the
only one.
I think he was drafted, yeah.
And so they did the article and everything in the newspaper.
Right. Yeah.
And so all the boys went into the service.
See, but that
was Charlie.
But this was
John
later,
was
later
the only
on
one.
When they were already in the service.
I know,
and
they did this later, but they all
right.
joined about the same time. And Uncle John, why wasn't he?
No, John couldn't go because he had bad feet.
Oh.
See, he was born with those club feet.
I didn't remember that. Okay.
And he couldn't walk. He couldn't walk or anything.
Your family.
And he was also married, but...
that didn't matter,
Well...
He wasn't married then, though.
Okay. But going back to your home then, like with your mom and dad and your brothers and everything, did your brothers join too?
Yeah, except my brother Gene, he got hurt in the mine. He couldn't go. My brother Albert went. He was in the police in the service. He rode the motorcycle and...
The sheriff, you mean?
But then how was your mother and father feeling, too, at that time? Your mother, the Catanis, how were they feeling during
like
this
everybody
time?
Else is feeling afraid.
Afraid. And how about Grandma and Grandpa?
Oh, yeah. Well, they had all those kids, you know.
I know. But Grandma was such a strong person.
Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
And so was Grandpa.
Yeah.
Right? And so that left everybody.
They knew that was going to,
So who helped them out then? Whenever all the boys left and everything.
Libby worked.
Well.
Did you work?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, if it wasn't for her.
The condolons then.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you do?
Charlie, I think he was the first one to go in because I think his number was called.
Oh, he was the old. Okay.
He wasn't the first one. Angela was the first one.
But he shouldn't have had to go because he was the oldest one. And you know, my dad wasn't really working at that time, you know.
And so one by one,
the boys were...
So they all left about in. The same time, though?
Well...
Basically, who was...
Pretty much.
And same thing with your family?
Some of them enlisted.
My brother Gene couldn't go in because he got hurt during the mine.
During the war and everything.
And Albert went in, and he was a... I guess they call him a policeman.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
and then with your family, with the Catanis, and now that you're married to Dad and everything, Angelo, okay, I'm just curious about, like, so you guys were married and everything, and Dad stayed in...
That's why we got married, so I could follow him around.
I know. So where was the first place before that you went with him?
The first place
where you had to leave
college. Kansas City.
Okay, but first you were making those caps.
I made the cap.
That was at first.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Dad got deployed to Kansas City.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Around there comes. In Kansas City, I made awnings and stuff like that.
In Kansas City?
Yeah.
Okay, and how long?
In Kansas.
In Kansas, okay.
Kansas.
And then what was Dad doing then? Was he in training?
Yeah, he was in basic training. Yeah.
And that was in Kansas somewhere.
Yeah.
Was it Leavenworth?
No. Okay. I'm trying to figure out where it was. I can't remember all that stuff,
okay.
you know.
And then you were, how long did you, were you there for?
In Kansas. Oh, about 2 years, I think.
Okay, and where did you stay?
I had, the people run out rooms there then to the soldiers' lives and all.
A lot of that.
And I went to, I had a room upstairs. And
Dad was on base?
When Dad was on base,
did you share that room?
No.
Anybody else? Well, I didn't know if there was another wife that you'd have to share it with.
No.
So how tiny was it? I mean, was it someone's house then?
Yeah, okay. It was somebody's house.
Do you remember how they treated you?
Oh, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. I even cooked for them. Mm-hmm. They wanted me to make spaghetti for them. And, mm-hmm. and I got letters after the war even thanking me for everything, you know.
Okay.
And then I worked there at a sewing place, too, where they made... in fact, I made outdoor theater that time.
Was it there, though?
Kansas City.
Oh, in Kansas.
Yeah, Kansas.
So
yeah.
That's where you did that. And then how soon was Dad deployed? I thought you went someplace in Florida, too.
I did.
So after
that
Kansas,
was
Fort Lauderdale,
wasn't it?
Dad went to Fort Lauderdale.
No, he wasn't in Fort Lauderdale. He was up in, up the other base up north. What was that base?
In Florida?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe...
I should have written that down. I could remember that.
He was up there, so you both moved down to Florida then.
Then I took a train down there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then where did you stay down there?
I stayed at in a house. This was two old maids to live in that house, and I was in a one bedroom place and stayed there. And I worked. I worked down there in a awning place too, tent and awning. That's where I made that outdoor theater for the soldiers.
So how long do you think you were down there when Dad was in training there?
About 2 years.
Again? Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't he deployed though within that time though? Sometimes
he was up north. When,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize he had that much training.
Yeah.
And everything. So I'm sort of okay. I didn't realize that. And then, so what kind of tent did you build?
I built awnings for houses, and I built a tent. They wanted an outdoor theater tent for so they can entertain the soldiers. And I had to have about six or seven soldiers hold that while I sold it. Mm-hmm. And I told Felix, I never will forget Felix, I said, that's awful, you know, big, it's going to blow down. And when the generals come over and talk to me about it, and asked me what I thought about it. I said, well, you have to talk to them because I'm just sewing here. I let them do it. And I was in the middle of a thing that this thing did fall down.
Nobody was hurt, though, right?
No.
Okay.
It was funny.
So you spent some time down with there, and then Dad finally got deployed, and that's when you went. Where did you go back home?
I went back home. I stayed there about a month, and I came back home.
And did you know where he first got deployed, where his first assignment was, or was all that still secret or what? You can kind of remember that
he was in Saipan. I know that.
Okay.
And
at first, okay.
He was.
What was his duties?
He was a a radar man and a gunner on a B-29. Mm-hmm. And the day he didn't go, he got sick that day. The day he didn't go up, the plane was shot down. And only one man survived. It was Harry McGrath. He was from Chicago.
Why didn't he go up that day?
He was a sick bee.
Oh, okay.
He was sick.
Okay.
And just like God pulled him out, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's only one guy that the plane was shot down that day, and that Harry McGrath, only one survived, and they took him prisoner of war in a Japanese place.
And he did survive, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then was that the sad news when he got back and his wife?
His wife, when he was, the war was over, she was going to meet him. She was going to get an outfit. She was in Chicago, and she was on a bus going to get an outfit to meet Harry, you know. And she dropped dead on a bus. She always complained about a headache. And I says, you go to the sick bay. They said there was nothing wrong with her, but they ended up finding she had a tumor up there.
Well, I'll get back to Dad when he was in the service. And then in the meantime, what was going on with the Condolones is they were all deployed different places, right?
Yes.
And can you remember all
well,
the places?
I know Charlie went to the Aleutian Islands.
Uh-huh.
And I remember him talking about when they first got there, they didn't have any food. But the Japanese had been there, and they left a lot of those oranges, you know, the mandarin oranges,
oh,
in
okay.
cans. And that was some of the stuff that they ate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then little by little, and of course they each went. Ange, of course, was in the Air Force. Ning, he volunteered. He was in the Marines, and Jean was in the.
He was like a nurse.
Yeah, he was
on the field.
Medics. Yeah, right. And of course Ning was in the Marines and. Gene was that's what we're just talking about.
Yeah.
So how did you correspond with them?
Well, they had an address.
What was it called? Their PO address?
Yeah, and
right.
it was all examined before they give it to the...
Okay. Well, yeah.
And then, so how often
And their letters coming to us
okay.
was also yeah. censored, yeah.
Okay, so mm-hmm. Dorothy, with Angelo, how often did you write to him?
Every day.
Every day?
Every day.
Okay, did you get letters back from him ever?
Almost every day, yeah.
Okay, and so this was, okay, and what was your last job that you were doing during the war then? You went back home, and what were you doing?
Down in Florida, at the awning
place. You stayed in Florida while he was...
No, he was still there.
After he was deployed, then, did you go back home to Collinsville?
Oh, yeah.
And then what were you doing there during the time that he was spending?
Worked at a dress factory.
Worked in the dress factory. And the dress factory was still making, were they making any uniforms, or were they doing?
No, they were making regular clothes.
Regular clothes.
The one in St. Louis was still making the Army caps, but they were clothes, too, because the war was almost over, you know.
Okay, but basically.
But I went there, yeah.
Okay. And then with Liv and everything, and you were corresponding with all your brothers?
Yeah.
How many letters
sure.
would you write?
Well, just about all of them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like how many times a week?
Oh, well, we try to do
every
it.
Every day?
Yeah, well, no, not every day, once a week anyway.
Once
you know?
A week to
yeah.
all of them?
Yeah.
Was Grandma Condolone writing letters?
No, I was writing for them. And she kept telling me, okay, will you write a letter today? And all right. So, you know how that was.
And where were you, what were you doing then that time? You graduated from
Well,
high school?
I was a senior when at Pearl Harbor time.
Yeah.
And that was in December. I graduated in June. Mm-hmm. And so after that, I got a job at the packing house, Armors, and in the office.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And there was all women there then, or very few
Well,
men?
No, there were some men.
But
yeah,
mostly
but
women
still,
were taking over the packing
right.
house business, too.
Yeah, there were still men.
So I didn't realize you worked at Armors.
Yeah.
That's where Dad
just
ended
the,
up, you know, all
Oh, yeah,
made a
sure. Well, everybody got work there.
Yeah.
Because
then you
they
worked it.
There was Swifts and quite a few
yeah.
buildings.
But they needed women to take the place of the what the men were doing before.
Well,
did
sure.
You enjoy it?
The women did a lot of that work.
Who was your
no.
boss? Was the boss a woman, or was the boss your supervisor?
No, there was no. He was
there
a man.
Was
yeah.
yeah,
they were. I guess they were able to do certain jobs that nobody else could do. You know, I mean, they still had to keep running.
How about your other friends? Were they in any kind of helping out with the war by sewing or by doing other things? Some of your other girlfriends?
Not then, I don't think. I don't remember that much. No, yeah. But
what did you find out during that time as far as like supplies in the United States and in Canada?
Well, after I quit Armour's in the office, I got a job at a grocery store, and I worked there for quite a while during the war. And in a way, it was pretty nice because, you know, things that came in that were, they really was having a hard time to get anything. Everything, I mean, you had to have coupons for cigarettes, well, gas, of course, was rationed. Everything was rationed, and meat and stuff like that. There was a lot of things that you couldn't get.
Yeah.
And if you got them once in a while, it would be pretty great if you could.
Remember
get
your
it.
Mom, when the boys came home after the war, she was going to surprise them and give them some Spam. And they laughed real hard because that's all they had during the war.
Well, there was certain things you couldn't get.
And what was your experience, Mom, when you came back and everything? Were you seeing more of your friends that were women, like in different jobs that would probably never work otherwise? It'd be a stay-at-home.
I worked at the dress factory.
I know, but how about your other friends that were in town there? Do you know anybody else that had more of the men's jobs that, you know,
not
of
too many
factories and everything?
Yeah, there was a lot of women that took the men's jobs that. I don't remember where they were, not in Collinsville especially, but I think like in Alton and different cities around that had plants. They had plants.
The place I work is in the cap factory where we made army caps and stuff, you know.
And then, so was Grandma, because she was such a sweet person, Grandma Condalone, and Grandma Catani, too. I mean, here they had their boys in the service.
Oh, we're so worried, of course.
So
oh, my gosh.
Saying now about Grandma Condalone. I mean, did she read the paper? She was always a paper reader.
Yes.
The newspaper.
She didn't have that much education. I think she went to the fifth grade, but she was a reader. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so.
She sure was.
And very worried and.
Oh, yeah.
And did you know people in the neighborhood there at Cuba Lane like that?
Well, just about all the boys, they were all gone. Yeah. I mean, like when I graduated in June, all the boys that a lot of them had already enlisted into, you know, service before.
Was word getting out, like if someone was injured or somebody was hurt? Did you know people that had happened to and around your neighborhood?
Well, not at the beginning so much. As time went on, there was, you know, people you'd hear, but once in a while you'd hear about somebody that was injured or died.
And Grandma
got killed.
I mean, your neighborhood was on the other end of town, sort of, and everything. So was everybody helping each other, too, if you didn't have supplies or something?
Yeah, they tried to. And the one that stood up for me, I can't remember his name no more, stood up for us when we got married, he was killed overseas.
Oh.
I can't, I'll think of his, I, I'll be, think, I'll think about his name later.
Okay.
On, I know.
So the community was changing.
Jenny was there with us, and
Vazello,
and then this—I can't think of his name. Mm-hmm. And then after he went to the war, but he was killed during the war.
Mm-hmm. So with Dad there now, and you're getting letters from him, what type of things was Dad telling you? I know he couldn't tell you the location or anything.
No, but he told me. He says every time I would go up before that, he says, I'll tell you, I heard Stardust today. That was our song. And then when he says, I heard Stardust today, I thought about you. He was up there.
Up there. Okay, and how about you? What did the boys write back to you? Or were they good writers? Did they write back?
Well, it's some, not that much.
Who wrote back the most? Let me guess. Charlie?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, Charlie did. Yeah, he did.
He was the
In
older.
Fact, I got a letter. That
you still have it?
Mm-hmm.
What did he write about?
Well, he wrote about where he was, and, you know, the Japanese had been at Aleutian Islands, and I told you about what they left some stuff there. But they were still, even after they left, they were still fighting. So,
who was that general that was on the radio, and they said they were going to do something because what he said? He says, they interviewed him, he said, it was up to me, I killed every Japanese in that country for what I seen, what they did to the people.
Okay. And so the whole community was changing at that time, though, because people were, you know, more people were going into the Army as they got older and everything.
All
the boys were in the Army. Nobody was in the Navy in our family.
Okay.
Except Cecil. I mean, that's Lou's husband.
Fred's husband was in the Navy, wasn't he? Louise's husband? Wasn't Scotty in the Navy?
He wasn't in the Navy. He was in the... I'm trying to think. I think he was in the Army. Yeah. And the one thing he told us about... He says he had the gun, and there was a young Japanese on the ground just going like this to him like that. And he says, he thought he was going to get shot, but Scotty didn't shoot him. He just picked him up and tied him up and brought him into the prison camp.
Yeah.
And he says it was just a kid, too.
Yeah. Well, we had a lot of kids over there also. So
not like that, though.
So another thing, though, in being in the States and you having odd jobs and you guys getting, you know, you working, so everybody was on a real tight budget then because the money wasn't
sure. And shoes, you had to have a ticket for shoes, you know. Uh-huh. Yeah, things like
was
that.
Was Grandma taking in laundry then, or did she take in laundry before the boys got...
No, yeah, she didn't do it.
She did it first.
When the boys were still...
A long time ago.
So what did you miss the most as far as like, darn it, I wish I could go into the store, Dorothy, like to buy this and it was no longer available? Clothing or food or whatever? Did you miss anything?
No.
Everything was rationed.
Meat was rationed, yeah.
Okay,
meat.
So what did you miss, like as far as just the luxury now that you wouldn't think of, but you know that you realized you just couldn't buy anymore in the stores?
Well, I, you know,
stockings
it was
didn't matter or anything like
stockings was the, one of the things, of course, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you really felt like the community of Collinsville
and films that take
that's right.
pictures, once in a while.
Was everybody pretty nice?
Well, everybody where I went in different places I stayed in Kearney, Nebraska, Kansas City, Florida, and everything else, they were just wonderful people. Mm-hmm. In fact, I got letters from some. About 3 years after the war was over. Mm-hmm. And I used to, they had me over the house a couple of times to make spaghetti for them.
And do you remember, how did you find out about the atomic bombing of Hiroshima then? Do you remember? Like,
what?
The atomic bombs, when they dropped the atomic bombs.
Oh,
it was on the radio.
Radio was our number one thing to watch. I mean, to listen to, my goodness.
So did you understand what that meant when they were talking about it?
Not at first, no, until they find out that that was
And then the next day it was
what happened.
Paper,
I mean, what the damage did, you know.
Okay, that was a flipping bomb. Where were you when you found out that they dropped bombs?
I was home.
Were you listening to the radio, or did somebody call you?
Well, that's what you did all day long, was listen to the radio, because something was going on every minute, you know.
And so you remember you were probably home, though, when you first heard about it and everything, and everybody was celebrating and everything.
There was a lot of pros and cons about that situation at the time.
How do you feel?
But no, I felt that it saved my brothers that were all in the Pacific section, you know. So
that's what ended the war.
It saved a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It killed a lot of people too, but you feel like it saved my brothers.
The Japanese
family.
At that time had no heart
for
anything.
Too.
Even
saved a lot of people too.
It wasn't a papers one time that took a baby from a mother.
That's okay. We don't need to have that either. Okay, but then you were still in contact. How did you keep in contact, like with the relatives, like grandma's relatives in Italy and everything, like what they were going through? Was there any letters exchanged at all?
No.
No. Okay. And you didn't know?
They didn't. My dad didn't keep up with his family that much.
Okay.
You know.
But
my mother was born in
Collinsville. But with the Baroudis and everything too, she had Effie close by, and she had Effie,
her sister.
And so they.
But she didn't live in Collinsville.
Illinois. But the feeling, people were writing letters back and forth, though, just seeing who was
and
doing well.
She had a son too, and he was in the service also.
Okay.
I mean, everybody was
pretty much doing their part.
Yeah,
I come home pregnant. I know. And I had Pete on my son on 4th of July, baby.
And yeah. we still
yeah.
practice that. I mean,
okay. So all in all, like when you look back at those years and realize like how everybody pitched in and everything, do you ever see that nowadays with families or what situations are? Or was that just a time that you knew you could depend on your neighbors and depend
on... you can also depend on your neighbors. I do.
Still to this day, okay.
Yeah,
you're
sure.
Kind. How about you, Libby?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's very important, you know. Mm-hmm. Especially now, we lived out in the country, you know. Mm-hmm. And at that time, you know, we didn't have...
That's right.
We didn't have all the things that came later after the war. Yeah.
So, Mom, when did you find out that Angelo, Dad, was going to be home? How soon did he come home after that?
Let's see. Well, it was about...
Like the bomb was dropped and everybody still had to be in the army.
Didn't
he get a leave?
He got to leave before
he came out.
Before he went overseas, he got to leave and come home. And he got a ride. He got a ride with one of the pilots that he knew to St. Louis, and then but I couldn't go because I couldn't get on the plane, so I stayed there while he came home for 2 or 3 days.
Oh, okay. And that was just to see you? And was Pete born then?
No.
Okay.
And I think Ed got some time off, too, and he came home. Mm-hmm. But not, you know, he couldn't stay very long. I think maybe a couple of days or something like
so
that.
So when everybody came home, did anybody... Nobody stayed in the military, though, did they?
No.
It's a career.
No. They wanted Angie to stay there because your dad, because he's good at radar and stuff like that, you know. And he wanted to come home, so...
But as far as, like, a lot of your friends and women friends and everything, as far as them working in the factories or working in places...
There was quite a few people that... A lot of women, because there were things in the areas. They were all doing work for the war.
Uh-huh. So that's why there were so many women, they
were able to do the job.
And so, like, when all the men started coming back, do you remember any of your friends, the female friends, like, kind of knowing that they had to give up their jobs, and maybe some of them wanted to move up in a company or anything, or they just felt like I served?
Well, I think they were all so glad to have their men back that it didn't make any difference.
What?
Well, like, when all the men started coming back and, you know, the war kind of effort was over and the United States was getting back on its feet, and these men are returning back to the jobs and taking the jobs. You know, the women might have thought, okay, I finally have my independence a little bit, and I'm working on these jobs. Did you know of any women that might have resented it a little bit, like they wanted to still work there?
No.
Okay. I've always been curious about that, because some women...
No, I told you I come home pregnant, so...
It's possible that some of the women did stay... And work in some of those plants.
So, yeah, we were always going to move to Florida. We really was, but we didn't because all the family was here, you know.
Okay. And so you felt like you did your part as far as like helping out, like in working at the grocery store and by writing letters. And did the boys really appreciate them? Did they, when they came home, did they tell you to?
Oh, yeah.
Even though they didn't write back as
very
much.
Very important.
So for Libby to be writing there?
Yeah.
Did you get any letters back from them at all as much?
I didn't. Well, they came to the house because they were for us, all of us, you know. Uh-huh. Family, my mom especially.
But they, that's when that article was written in the newspaper about all the boys, 6 Conelon boys scattered all over the Pacific, and it mentioned you, who you were employed.
Well, she interviewed me.
Yeah.
The Herald paper. That was the daughter, Monroe, and she was in high school with me, so she's the one that talked to me about that.
And so it said about how you were writing letters all the time, and Mr. and Mrs. Condalon, which is Pearl and Peter Condalon family, is they are praying for all who are fighting for the right of men and women to live in a free world. It was a wonderful article, and it talked a little bit about where all the boys were, Angelo and Eddie, and Charlie.
Talk about writing letters. I wrote a letter to
a family that had quite a.
Angie's friends, you know. Moscone was his name. And I thought I'd write to him, you know, because I was writing to try to write. They tell you to try to write. He said never got letters from his family. So I wrote a little letter to him. Angie's reading my letter, and he was reading my letter. And Angie found out I wrote to him. He was really mad.
So but, when everybody was coming home and everything, did you feel like you guys, like America was safe again and you guys were secure? Did that feeling come back or did it take a while?
Well, I don't know. It's, you know, there was so much that happened that you just think,
Wait a minute, the president can't be all over
because so much happened, you know.
That you were always kind of wondering, it broke the safe How did you feel when everybody came back and the war was over, Dorothy, as far as, like, did you feel like you wouldn't have to worry for a while, or were you still had that anxiety maybe that there could be another war soon?
No, I wasn't worried about that.
Okay. Do you guys have anything else to contribute as far as, like, how, you know, how, if your life changed at all as far as, like, you know, appreciating everyone, like the whole community more even, how everybody pitched in?
Well, you just took it for granted that everybody was going to do their part, you know. And after the war, of course, everybody just kind of, oof.
Yeah.
You know, it's, but with, of course, the war with Germany, goodness, you know, that... I'm not sure that went on later.
No, that was like at the same time. Like,
well,
everything was, you know, with all of that, and that word was getting out. And you had people, you had family in Poland and stuff that.
What?
Huh? You knew Mrs. That was my godmother.
Yeah.
Her family in Poland, and you knew how things bad were getting there because I can remember that was a little bit later. That one you were sending clothes, so there was always that need that you wanted to help
the other people. I made clothes for that for one of Rose's relatives over there. I made some dresses for the girls, and then they used to put the money in the lining of the jackets that I made because
they would check it
and take the money, and so it wouldn't go to the people
sometimes.
That
anything you know.
And so, but you, I think. Before you had this town of Collinsville, Illinois, and then when the war happened, it seemed like, you know, it spread, you know, the whole United States was one. That's the way I view what happened during World War II. Did you feel like, you know, all the news from everybody else and all the different states and how everybody was doing their
part? Was so thankful if you got somebody that was in a service that came home safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So...
I had six brothers and a brother-in-law in World War II, and they all came home safe.
Yep. And moms all came home safe, and you knew a lot of families, though, that didn't always come home. So
and most of them were all in the Pacific area, you know, on those islands with the Japanese were, and pretty bad.
And I think you guys should be really proud, though, of what the effort that you guys put in to help out any way you could, whether it be, you know, making the tents or writing letters. And I think it was wonderful that you kept on writing the letters to the boys and everything.
And kept it up, my goodness, working
in the stores and, you know, that you knew that you were doing something, though. And And did you feel good about it?
Oh, yeah. We used to write each other every day.
Now, you've seen that picture of Rosie the Riveter and everything. Yeah. That's how they recruited all the women, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They had the signs up all over and everything.
Yeah.
Did you think it was a good symbol?
Sure.
Were you proud of the women that you worked with and the other people in the
community? Who was going to do it?
There you go.
There was nobody left. Right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you felt like you did really contribute.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mom?
Yeah, I made the army caps, so.
And the tents. And the
tents.
And the writing letters.
Yeah.
So Okay, Rosie the Riveters, you guys did good.
It changed the women's attitude the rest of their life.
In which way?
Didn't it?
In which way?
Well, they knew that they were able to do this, and they did it. And also, they got that little independence that, you know, sometimes women were kind of second class. Sometimes, depending on what they were doing and what kind of life they had. Yeah, I think that changed everything.
You go, girl.
They knew that they could do it.
What do you think?
They found out that they were able to.
What do you think, and Dorothy, as far as giving women confidence that they can do jobs?
Women all could.
Huh. Yeah, but who is, I mean, you couldn't get a job like as a construction worker almost. Women weren't accepted in those jobs. And
they
after
did.
The war,
not after war, no. Well, there's.
No, after the war.
They are.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So some woman that might want to. You know, I want this job. I
don't believe in women working on a road like they do, but that's none of my business.
Well,
you know, to be a president of a company or to be a supervisor over men.
That's right. That's good.
That's good. Okay. Okay. So we've come a long
that's
way,
right.
baby.
They could. That's right.
Okay.
But
I still don't
believe in women
do
working on a road like they do.
Okay.
You know.
But as far as this gave them confidence,
and everybody else found out they could do it too.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. So is there anything else you want to say about those memories?
I'm just glad the war is over with and everything worked out as it is.
But the sad thing is we're still all over the world fighting somewhere, mm-hmm. which is sad.
Yeah.
Our boys are...
The saddest thing was when Harry was coming home. You know, after a prison of war, he comes home and finds his wife was died on a bus. Mm-hmm. That was awful.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, when she complained about a headache all the time, go to the PX, I mean to the hospital here, and they said there was nothing wrong with her. But she says, my head hurts so bad, you know, all the time. I said, that's not normal.
Mm-hmm. But everything, you know, all in all, though, I think you guys deserve, you know.
And everywhere we went, the people treated us very nice, really nice.
Yeah, and that was the other
all
thing.
The rooms we
and
ran.
Then
one time we got a little house by ourselves there, a little cottage, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
two old maids lived in the next one, and they were so nice to us too.
Well, everybody tried to do their part.
Yeah,
and that's
what
was nice. Yeah, so I think
because
guys...
most of those people had relatives in the war too, and they're doing their share trying to do that. Have an extra room that you could rent.
I remember I made them big tarpaulins too that they had to have help when I sold it, you know, for the trucks and all.
And you continued sewing all of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you continued being kind to everyone your whole entire life. So thanks a lot. I really learned a lot, though, from both of you, from the Condalone side and from the Catani side. And so now your grandchildren and your nieces and nephews will be able to hear this, and it's been documented.
As long as there's not another war. I don't like what's going on over there now.
No.
Here we go. So thank you very much, Dorothy.
You're welcome, Pam.
And thanks, Liberty. Condalone Lawrence. Okay.